Gary, he's gotten used to it over the years, and you know, Stan does a great job, but you know, it's very difficult to get up here and speak in front of an audience. And even though we're bringing you God's word, that, you know, that still is difficult. You know, it's stressful, like I said, and it's not easy. So it's a great opportunity, a great honor to be able to do that, but it's you know, stressful too. So my lesson tonight is one that I wrote last year, and it was just came into my mind because it was a question I used to always ask when I was growing up, and I'm sure a lot of children tend to ask their parents this question, and it's the question of why. So why can't I do this, or why can't I do that? You know, that's, I would imagine that all of us have asked that question from time to time of our parents or from other individuals. But if we're asking that question of God, and we are questioning why to our Creator, that's a scary thought. And we had the opportunity last Sunday to speak with and go to lunch with Ed and Donna, and Ed brought up a really good point, and I didn't have this in my lesson before, but in my lesson evolved and changed, and as I'm sure most people's lessons do. But he brought up a good thought is to Genesis 1:1. I'm sure everyone has that scripture memorized. I'll turn to it because I might get a little tongue-tied up here. But it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." So why do we worship God? Right there we see. He is our Creator. Why would we not? Why would we not worship our Creator? Why would that even be something that anyone in the world would even fathom? You know, but it is. It's something that everyone in the world, you know, they don't desire to worship the Creator. They desire to do their own thing please themselves. We also see a similar reference to that in John 1:1, where John, the book of John, we see a reference the same thing as God being the Creator. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So if God created everything we know, which we all believe that, we wouldn't be here otherwise, and we believe that with all our hearts, then there's no reason that we would question and desire to know why or who or what we should do. So then if we're going to desire that, and if we're going to follow through with that, then we must do what God desires for us to do. So we see in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40, we see that this was, I'm sure this is another passage everyone knows very well. I don't think anything that I'm going to say tonight is going to be something that people don't know. It's all known to us. It's all in the Bible, easy for us to reference. But it's just different thoughts that I have, and I'm just, you know, presenting them to others. And it says here that this is when the Pharisees saw that the Sadducees were silenced, and so a lawyer, thinking that he's going to say something intriguing to Jesus, he says, "Teacher, which is the great commandment of the law?" And Jesus says to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang the law and the prophets." So if we're pleasing to God, if we're going to be doing what's pleasing to God, then we are going to put him first. So do we do that? Or do we put God first in our lives? Do we think about God before we think about anything else in our lives? You know, I know that a lot of times I am guilty of that myself. I'm guilty of not putting God first. And, you know, I have to remind myself that, you know, that's, if I believe that he's my creator, and I'm not going to question that, then I have to do what he desires for me to do and put him first. We also see another good reference. This is in Matthew here still, chapter 25. I wanted to reference the talents and how God tells us here. We see that each one of us, he knows what each one of our talents are. God's given each one of us talents. And we are to utilize those talents for his glory. Talents being, in this passage, it's a parable, so we see it references money in this, but it takes on a different meaning also to where Jesus, you know, God knows that he's given each one of us the ability to do different things. Not all of us have the same abilities. You know, my ability really isn't speaking in front of an audience, but, you know, I think it's a good thing for us to be able to do, and so we do it. But we see here that it's the parable where, I'll just read it. And it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who calls his own servants to him, calls his own servants and delivers his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to the other he gave 2, and another 1, to each according to his ability. And immediately he went on a journey." So everyone's been given, these 3 individuals have been given their talents by the master, as God gives us talents. Then he received the 5 talents, went out and traded it with them, and made 5 more talents. And likewise, he who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went and dug into the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled the accounts with them. So he who received the 5 talents came and brought 5 more talents to the Lord, and saying, "Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them." And the Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." He also, who had received the 2 talents, came and said to the Lord, "You delivered me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them." His Lord said to him, "Well done, again, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord, of your Lord." Then he who received the 1 talent came and said to the Lord, "I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. And look there, you have what is yours." But the Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked, lazy servant. You knew I reap where I did not sow, and I gathered where I scattered no seed. So you ought to have deposited my money in the bank, right, with the bankers. And at my coming, I would receive my money back with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to he who had 10 talents. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. and cast that unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of glory, and the nations will gather before him, and I will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. So, in my humble opinion, this is a reference also to us as Christians, that God knows what talents we have. And he's telling us here clearly that if we don't utilize these talents to his glory, when he comes back, and he is coming back, we all know that he will decide whether or not those talents that he's given us were utilized as he desired for them to be utilized. And that'll be God's decision as to how he decides that. But it seems pretty plain that where we see that the unprofitable servant was cast into the outer darkness, that there's reference to us as well to what we need to do to be profitable and to be give glory to God. So why would we not do this? And I see reference to this also in Exodus. If we turn to Exodus here, we see that a reference to Moses. And Moses questioned God. God knew that Moses could do what he's asking him to do, go to Pharaoh and talk to Pharaoh. But Moses basically is asking God why, in reference here to what I see. It says in Exodus 4, verse 10, then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow to speech, slow in tongue. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with you, and I will be with your mouth, and teach you what you should say. But he said, O Lord, please send by the hand whomever else you may send. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know he can speak well. And look, he is coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in heart. So we see here, and we know this story well, we see that Moses is asking God why. God knew Moses could handle this. God knew that Moses, he wouldn't have asked Moses to do it otherwise, just as he wouldn't give us talents that he knew we couldn't utilize for his glory. But he knew Moses could handle this, and he gave him this opportunity to do it. And Moses kindled God's anger. That's a little alarming there for me. You know, I wouldn't want God's anger to be kindled against me. And so if we're not utilizing the talents God blesses us with for his glory, then, and we're asking him why do I have to do this? Why, Lord, is this happening to me? God knows what we can handle. He understands, and he knows us. So it reminds me of of when I was growing up. That's why I thought of this lesson too, was a question that my brother and I often would ask my father, and it was not a question just God's anger is, that's scary. I mean, but God's anger, we don't get to see his wrath brought against us like they did in the Old Testament. When your father, you know, you get to see that. You know, if you're asking him why and you upset him, you get to see that, your earthly father. So we would, my dad used to love to say on Saturdays he wanted the garage cleaned. And in his words, he would say, "I want it clean enough to eat off the floor." And my brother and I would think that was just the funniest thing ever. You know, we couldn't understand why is dad desiring to eat off the floor in the garage. You know, we knew it was a joke, or it was just his idea of impressing upon us that that's how clean he wanted that garage. But we dared not ask him why. You know, why do you want the garage that clean? But we thought about it. We thought, you know, this is outrageous, you know, that the garage needs to be that clean. It's a garage. But we would enjoy the laughter between us, and the thought of my dad getting upset and wanting that garage clean. But in respect to that, it's nothing compared to the anger of God. Our earthly father can discipline us here on earth and discipline us pretty severely at times, desiring for us to be right and doing what's right. But our heavenly father, the discipline that we're going to get from him is going to be far greater. And he knows much more than our earthly father's ever going to know about us. He knows everything about us. He knows everything that goes on in our hearts. And he knows the talents that we have. So in this lesson is, you know, which when I write a lesson, a lot of times I write it more for myself than anything else, because I think, you know, what are the things that I need to work on? What are the things that I can work on in my life? And there's many things that I can work on. But one of the big things that I can work on in my life is not asking God why, not desiring to question what God desires from us, or why things are happening, or what's happening to me, and how things are going in my life. It's for me to give God glory, to worship God, to put him first in my life, and to remember that he knows. He knows exactly what I need, and he will take care of me. And another book I wanted to give reference to here was Romans 10. If we look over here in Romans 10, I numbered all these, but then, let's see. So here in Romans 10, we see that those in the world are going to have no excuse. Because here we see that if they're not serving God and desiring to be pleasing to God, they will have no excuse when the Lord comes back. Because it says here that, but in verse 16 of chapter 10 of Romans, "But have they not all obeyed the gospel? For Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our report?' So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and the words to the end of the world." So God's message has gone out. I would imagine that we would be hard pressed to go into the world and talk to someone and have them say to us, "I don't know about God." I would imagine, or the Bible. I would imagine we would be very hard pressed. I've never personally, I don't know if anyone else has ever had that experience, but I've never had the experience of talking to someone about God or the Bible and had them say, "I've never heard of that. I've never heard of God." It's not going to happen. God is a just, fair God. He loves us. He wants us all to be in heaven with us. We all know that. And he desires for us to be repentant and each one to go to heaven. But yet, look at our audience this evening, and not to say anything about the congregation, but look how many people are out in the world doing whatever they want, just doing their own thing, you know, not caring about God, not caring about serving him or wondering why I'm here, why I'm here on earth. You know, that doesn't cross their mind, obviously. They obviously want to just please themselves, and they aren't here among us worshiping God. They aren't among us desiring to be pleasing to God and someday have eternal life through the promise that God gives us of through baptism. So the question won't be, you know, why to God when judgment comes. It'll be, why did you not listen? Why did you not desire to worship God? We also see in Romans 1, back here a couple pages, verse 16, it says, Paul's telling us here through that, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For it is the righteousness of God is revealed through faith and to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth of unrighteousness. And we also see here that in verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, clearly seen, being understood by things that were by things that are made. Let's start that again. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his internal power and the Godhead or divinity, just meaning the Holy Spirit, God, and Jesus, as that they are without excuse. So again, there will be no excuse. We, as much as we desire to help others, help people in the world come to God, they have no excuse. They know. They know of the Bible. They know of God, and they will have no excuse when God does return. We also see in 2 Peter a little bit about God's love for us. In 2 Peter 3, we see in verse 9 that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and its works will be burned up. So we see here in verse 9 that God is desiring for each one of us, for everyone to be in heaven. He's desiring for all of us to repent and be right before him and give glory to him and be in heaven someday when he either comes back or we die. So I guess in closing, as I bring this lesson at a shorter lesson, but as I bring it to a close here, I guess we could say, why not? Why, for those who have not obeyed the gospel, for those who have not become Christians, why have you not? For those who, in the world, obviously, we can't reach them right now. They see us on a daily basis. We might have an opportunity from time to time to teach them. But for us here, if anyone here is not a Christian, why not? Why delay? You do not have salvation without baptism. We see here in 2 Peter 3, oh, that, I already read that one, 2 Peter. Oh, let's go to, Romans 6, 3 and 4. Turn back here to Romans 6. And we see here the reference to our commitment to God through baptism. So if we desire, if we know, like we were talking about last Sunday with Ed and Ed, that if we know God and we believe that He is our Creator, and we believe God created everything, and we desire to please Him and desire to do what He wants, then He gives us His commandment here in Romans 6 and various other places also. But it says here in Romans 6, verse 3, or do you not know that as many of us that were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk a newness of life. So if we desire to be pleasing to God, if we're not asking why or what we should do, if we're instead saying, why not? Why would I not want to commit to this? Then we have to be buried into the baptism, or buried in baptism through water, which we have behind us. If anyone is desiring baptism, we'd have to be immersed in that water, just as Jesus Christ was immersed or put in the ground, and then we rise to a new life. And then the part that we have to walk a new life. So we can't just continue on the same path we were on before. If we desire to be pleasing to God, if we desire to do what He wants from us, then we have to change our ways. And for many of us, when we first become Christians, that's really difficult. You know, you have to separate yourself from those people that aren't good for you, that aren't beneficial to you, and you've got to change the way you're living if you're not living and doing what's right. So it's a big commitment. It's not something that anyone should take lightly. If you are desiring to be a Christian, then you have to be willing to separate yourself from the sin of the world and walk a new life after you've committed your life to God and been baptized. And if there's anyone here this evening that is desiring that, then we can certainly make that happen. If there's anyone here that is in need of prayers or in desiring the prayers of the Christians here, maybe they haven't been walking as they should, and maybe they just need a little bit of help spiritually from us, we would be happy to do that also. And if you desire that, either one of those, then you can feel free to come forward as we stand and as we sing the invitation song.